This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Skype, we've got Josh.
Hey.
This weekend, we got some big matches coming up, five of them, in fact. We record this show before SmackDown airs, so we're going to have to do some best guest estimates about how some of these matches are going to be filled out. And let's just crack into that. You know, King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring tournaments have been running from the past few weeks. We talked last week heavily about how we thought, you know, Jey Uso, Tama Tonga, that would make a great final. And then Gunther grabbed that and booted it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's starting to gain this little narrative for Jey that he just can't get the job done on the main event, the main event. Which I think is actually going to play out better for him anyway. Because when he does do it, I think it'll mean more. It'll be like the Cody thing. Everybody said he needed to win it at 39. The right call was for him to lose at 39 and win at 40. I think it's going to be something similar to that here. And maybe a few months down the road, that's when Jey will win the World Heavyweight Championship, and it'll feel more special.
I think for a man who calls himself main event Jey Uso, he has been in quite a few main events, especially through his Roman feud and gunning for the titles, but he hasn't quite cracked winning in the main event for the most part. It seems to, as you say, be a bit of a weakness there, falling at the final hurdle, always the bridesmaid kind of thing. But, you know, I gotta count, you know, lasting 17 minutes against Gunther in the ring is a win, though.
And it took a submission to beat him, not a 1-2-3.
Oh, Gunther's luckily won, I think, all three so far. He beat Sheamus, Kofi, and Jey, all with submissions. I don't know if he's just decided to be a submission specialist for the sake of this tournament, but he's pulling them out left, right, and center.
Yeah. I think Gunther in the finals is it's what we expected a bit as well. It was definitely a 50-50 where it's like it's either going to be Gunther or Jey, depending on where they want to go. They decided they wanted to go with Gunther, at least out the Royal side.
Yeah, it was the good bet before Jey got subbed in, and then it became maybe. And now we've just sort of gone back to plan default, Gunther making it all the way to the finals. But as you say, on the other side, the SmackDown side is not 100% set in stone at time of recording. We still have Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga to go.
Yeah, I'd say there's a 95% chance that Randy wins, simply because of the alignment situation. Although I think Gunther and Tama would probably put on a really good match, I think the best match is definitely Randy Orton versus Gunther for that final. It's very possible that's where what leads to Gunther winning is that because Tama lost to Randy, they get involved in the match, the bloodline, costing Randy the king of the ring, literally the one accomplishment that he's never had in his career.
Yeah, because if Randy Orton does pick up the win here and go on in the grand finals of the tournament, that would leave the bloodline suspiciously absent from this weekend's activities. And yeah, we know they're vengeful. I think my only question would be, you know, if Randy Orton is going over Tama Tonga here in the semi-final, how are we going to do that? You know, are we going to try and protect Tama because he's been, what is he, the Butcher of the Bloodline, I think has been his new nickname?
Yeah, I actually think Tama gets himself disqualified. I could see him maybe going maybe too far, or Solo tries to help and gets caught, and the referee throws the match out. So I think that's probably the likely ending. Although with Randy Orton, an RKO can come out of nowhere and it would still probably protect Tama because it is the RKO.
That is true. I guess if you're going to lose against anybody in your first singles loss, Randy Orton is a solid bet for that. And I guess you kind of mentioned it there, but you do see Gunther working out with the crown at the end then?
I would say probably so, but it's not a lock. I could easily see Orton winning because he is Randy Orton. It is almost the situation like Roman Reigns is in the match. Who do you think is going to win? Probably Roman Reigns. It's this situation. Randy Orton is in the match. He could probably win, and nobody would bat an eyelash at it. Plus, it's possible that they could do that as part of his maybe building towards him versus Cody. I do think at some point we are going to get a heel Randy Orton, because we are seriously lacking on heels, especially for Cody. And they have lots of history. Yep. It would be fun to have like a SummerSlam feud between Randy Orton and Cody that could go over all that.
I think
definitely
there's a money match there. Definitely an amazing feud. I think you're right. But again, you know, Randy Orton is Randy Orton. We could just throw him in that feud without building him up, without giving him the King of the Ring, and it probably still fits, which is now, you know, when does the switch flick, given Randy Orton has been dealing with the Bloodline and seemingly will be in his semi-final again against Tama Tonga. Got to be some point along the way where maybe he just gets fed up and goes the other way. Who knows? But looking over at the Queen of the Ring, similarly, we know the Raw representative. We saw Lyra Valkyria come out on top against Io Sky in the Raw finals, just under 20 minutes. And then our last match on SmackDown, Nia Jax versus Bianca Belair, thanks to a DQ from Jade Cargill, allowing Nia Jax to get through the bracket.
Yeah. Kind of, it protects Jade. That's her first official loss in WWE, so no streak for her in WWE.
They can still say she hasn't been pinned or submitted.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I love that a 19-minute match is how you get buried, apparently.
Isn't 19 minutes more than the entire Queen of the Ring tournament last time?
It's definitely longer than some matches have been. I don't know. It's just, I saw a bunch of people like saying that Io was being buried. She's lost two matches in the last year. Let's slow your roll on that. Besides, this is about building stars. Obviously, you're going to want to build Lyra. I think because of where they're at here, with Lyra being the representative from Raw, I think Nia ends up being the representative from SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also leads to Queen Nia Jax.
Yeah. I'm trying to do some math and I'm failing here. Hold on. Keep stalling. Keep vamping.
Yeah. I think Bianca and Nia will have a good match. I really haven't seen much from Nia that's not been good since she's returned. I think Nia goes over. And I think this may be something that they can maybe build into her joining the Bloodline as the female representative.
I did the math. The Queen of the Ring tournament last year came in at 19 minutes and 35 seconds for the entirety of the tournament. So 20 seconds just short.
Yeah. 16 seconds.
Yeah. So, you know, buried or not, up to you.
Yeah.
That was a lot of math. Yeah, Bianca Belair, I think, also coming into this with a bit of a storyline injury probably also gives Jax the easy out. As you said, she's been doing amazingly. She's been presented pretty well as well, you know, taking it to Rhea Ripley in Australia, challenging for belts, doing pretty well in that main event scene, even if she isn't in the title scene. Does make the most sense for her to go over Bianca here. I think they've given us the out with Jade Cargill getting herself disqualified, the out with Bianca looking a little hurt. Seems like a nice, easy way to float Nia to the finals. And yeah, if it's Nia Jax versus Lyra, there's very little chance that Lyra can pull this one out, you know. I know she plays the underdog role really well, but it is Nia Jax across the way from her.
Yeah, I would say I'd probably give it an 80-20. Because in WWE, anything can happen, and a fluke roll-up can happen anywhere at any time, and it is the most powerful move in the history of WWE. So, I'm not going to say it's a lock, for sure. But it is definitely more likely Nia Jax wins.
And, you know, given we've talked about both the tournaments coming to a conclusion this weekend, I'll call it roughly halfway through the show, play our entrance theme, and then we can talk about three championship matches that are happening this weekend as well. On the other side, our entrance theme this week is none other than Bron Breakker. Back for Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. Do you want to talk about Women's World Championship, Intercontinental, or Undisputed WWE Championship first?
Let's go with the women.
Women's World Championship match, Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. Becky Lynch coming in when Rhea Ripley got injured, winning a Battle Royal, getting that spot. And Liv Morgan being busy with the Judgment Day, now being in background of segments with Dominic and Finn, definitely planting those seeds. Is she too focused on the Judgment Day, or is she going to be the right amount of focused when it comes to this match and snatch up the title?
I don't know. I know Becky was supposed to go on vacation. this is very similar to another wrestler that was supposed to have gone on vacation a couple of years back when CM Punk got hurt and then won a championship. And then transitioned to MJF. So I think it probably was similar. I believe Liv Morgan walks out of this event with the championship.
Yeah, I think Becky Lynch was very much a in case of glass, in case of emergency break glass kind of situation. If Liv Morgan's whole shtick is to take everything away from Rhea Ripley, just picking up the title randomly in a battle royal doesn't necessarily mean as much as winning it off of Becky Lynch at a premium live event. I think that gives you a bit more edge on it. And if Liv, like, my end game is that Liv has this championship when Rhea returns. And I don't know, if you have her lose to Becky Lynch here, you know, I don't really want to see her just take another shot in a month's time. So I feel like you got to pull the trigger sooner rather than later.
Yeah. There is definitely a moment of where it is that when is the right moment with Liv. We definitely can't do what we did a couple of years ago and give her a briefcase, because I don't think that'll work again. It barely worked the first place. I love Liv. I like that she won the title, but she did not have a good reign. But I think she's grown a little more. She's become more of a character. She has a story that seems to be going somewhere. I think now is the moment. It definitely wasn't that battle royal. You're right. It was not the right moment. Even though everybody wanted Liv to win it there. Again, it's another situation like the Cody thing. So I think they built her successfully. They've done lots of teases, having her walk out of segments in the background of segments with Dominic's bandana in her pockets, things like that. I think have all woven this story. I think Lynch, maybe gets a little too distracted, because I think Judgment Day may come into play here. And I think Liv wins and takes the title. And we eventually will get, a couple months from now, Liv versus Rhea, with the roles reversed from what we expected it to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if we need to even the odds because Becky and Liv aren't on the same level or whatever, Judgment Day could be a perfect way to do that, you know? She's been convorting with them, whether it be a Dominic distraction, a Finn Balor run-in, you know, there's plenty of stuff that you can pull off and have it probably pee off Rhea Ripley a little bit more even. You know, you used her group to make sure that you won the championship.
Yeah, I think it's Dominic. I think Dominic is the key. It's just a question of how well can he actually do anything to distract her. I'm glad they're keeping his character alive while he's injured. So there is that. But yeah, I think Dominic somehow distracts Becky enough that allows Liv to hit her finisher, which I don't even remember at the moment, because it's been a while. And then we hear a 1, 2, 3, and new women's world champion.
Let me just go to Wikipedia, and oh no, wait, they removed the section about finishing moves and entrance themes and other such cool stuff that used to be on their articles. I know they removed it years ago, but it still annoys me. In terms of the next match to talk about, let's actually jump forward to the Undisputed WWE Championship. I think this one's a little bit more cut and dry compared to the Intercontinental Championship. So Cody Rhodes, Logan Paul, rules have been clarified. Paul is dodging a title defense. It will just be a one-on-one for the WWE Championship.
In which case, that settles like our big conundrum.
100%.
Because if because it isn't going to allow somebody to walk out with two championships.
Woo!
So, yay on that. It doesn't require them to get any creative with the finish to keep them the titles on this on the people that without switching them.
Woo!
And it should be a really good match. I obviously there is no way Logan Paul is the one that beats Cody for this title this early in his reign. I could see maybe next year Logan wins the Rumble and faces Cody for the title at the Rumble at WrestleMania. I could see him maybe winning there, but not at some random premium live event that's not a level premium live event.
I think it's also the case of Cody, as you say, Cody Rhodes just had it. Obviously, he did survive through Backlash with the championship, but still, it's way too early. You know, the whole build, multiple years, the entire bloodline coming down. I would be shocked if Cody Rhodes doesn't make it the distance to at least next year's WrestleMania. You know, all of the title, it's sort of like we had with Roman Reigns, when all the title defenses come around and you just default to Cody Rhodes now as the winner, because surely they're not going to take it off him, what, a month, 2 months into his reign?
I don't know if he's still champion by WrestleMania next year.
Okay.
I think it's a case where it's one of those situations where they could build somebody up to him in the meantime, and eventually they do take him over. But I do think we have a defined story for Cody right now, and that is The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I think SummerSlam is where he faces The Rock, maybe, and then maybe after that match, after Cody retains. That's when we see maybe the return of Roman to start that side of this storyline, to kind of split the bloodline off of Cody. And then maybe Cody goes on and faces, I don't know, throwing a random person, LA Knight. And they continue building people up, because that briefcase, I think, will come into play, and I think I might get cashed in on here, Cody.
True.
It's a question of who wins it. But I do think I think it's more likely to be cashed in on Cody than it would be whoever is the world champion, unless the briefcase winner is Jey Uso.
Unless.
And maybe Gunther transitions this King of the Ring tournament into winning the briefcase, and then he cashes in on Cody later on in the year and becomes champion.
I think there's a few names who could potentially be picking up briefcases and doing stuff with them. I'm with you. There's obviously 11 months between now and next year's WrestleMania. There is a chance he runs the gauntlet. You know, he's got to get through SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, briefcases. There's a lot of things between him and getting there, him in Las Vegas. But we'll see. I still don't. That all being said, I don't see Logan Paul beating him this weekend.
No.
Now, Intercontinental Championship time. Champion Sami Zayn taking on, in a triple threat match, Bronson Reed and the absolutely on fire Chad Gable.
Yeah, I really don't know. I honestly could see Gable winning, obviously. But I could also see Alpha Academy walking out on Gable in this match, and it being enough of a distraction that allows Sammy to, like, steal the win. I don't think Bronson wins, but nothing about this match will surprise me. Bronson could totally walk out with the championship, because of the whole situation with Alpha Academy. when Chad Gable has the match won, and then he gets distracted with Alpha Academy berating him or something, and then turns around and Bronson Reed absolutely pancakes him.
Yeah, for me, Bronson Reed's kind of like the extra piece of the puzzle. Obviously, Chad Gable chasing the Intercontinental Championship has been one of the storylines. Chad Gable turning on Sami Zayn is one of the storylines. And now we've got Bronson Reed standing in there in a triple threat. It really reads as his spot is to take a pinfall.
I think his spot is actually to not be involved in the finish.
Okay.
I think he will. I think they'll protect him from that standpoint, and I think in the end it'll be either Sammy pins Chad because of, like I said, Alpha Academy, or Chad pins Sammy and wins the title. And yeah. I think with everything we've seen on Raw recently, with him berating Alpha Academy at every possible chance that he's gotten, and because I think he'll get even more obnoxious if he actually wins the title, I want to see it. I want to see them go full-blown heel Chad Gable. And then we'll have to see where they would go from there. But I think I'm fine with Sammy being a transitional champion. It gave him a moment with the singles title. And they didn't have to do some crazy story to try to get Gunther versus Chad again.
It's hard because Chad Gable's next storyline, as you say, is very clear. You're right, Alpha Academy, been on the receiving end of so many things. He's hanging out with the Creed brothers. The storyline is there. Will the title be involved? Will it not be involved? We'll find out after this weekend, I guess. From a personal standpoint, I'm with you. Let's strap Chad Gable, and let's have him be an absolute word I can't say on the radio. Sami Zayn won't be hurt. Bronson's here for some fun. Change a couple titles this weekend. But that is all we have time for. It's been great talking to you.
Bye, B.
Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp, or our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp. And we will catch you next week with all the results from this weekend.
For more episodes, use the AccessMedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.